The text of verse 21 says that you were called by God for the very purpose of suffering for him, just as he suffered for you. Verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Has your husband reviled you and threatened you? You are exhorted to respond as Jesus did when he was reviled and threatened. He suffered by committing himself to a higher judge who is righteous. You must commit yourself to the one who placed you under your husband's command. Your husband will answer to God, and you must answer to God for how you respond to your husband, even when he causes you to suffer. My interpretation is not out of context or fanciful, for the text of 1 Peter continues to develop this principle of authority and submission by discussing it in relationship to wives obeying their husbands. The first word in chapter 3 is likewise, connecting this chapter to the former discussion of chapter 2, the verse we just covered. 1 Peter 3:1-6. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the adornment of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted God in adorning themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. The passage is clear to all those who have eyes to see, just as we are to obey government in every ordinance, and servants are to obey their masters, even the ones who are abusive and surly. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, even the ones who obey not the word, have no regard for God. The text goes so far as to suggest that a wife should have the same reverence for an unsaved husband as to call him Lord, as did Sarah. You can freely call your husband Lord when you know that you are addressing the one who put him in charge and ask you to suffer at your husband's hands, just as our Lord suffered at the hands of unjust authorities. Did Jesus reject the will of God and flee to safe ground just because it involves suffering? Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." John 6:38. Women who do their own will may flee a marriage that is no fun, but women who do the will of God enter into a plane of blessedness known only to the obedient. I know that this must be an amazing doctrine to many of you. Nonetheless, it is no less radical than Jesus was radical. And it is God's way. The text says to not be afraid with any amazement. 3:6. The teachings of Jesus are so contrary to human nature that sometimes they will make you afraid and amazed. No one in a psychology department would ever think this one up. You will never hear this from Dr. Laura or from most of you modern preachers. But it is the path to glory, the path to a miracle that may change your husband after it has finally changed you. God is seeking your glory. Glory comes from doing the unusual, the brave, the wonderful, compared to what is normally done. When a Christian wife does what a woman of the world would never do, cheerfully obeying an unworthy man simply because God commands it, God in heaven is glorified. Children are to obey their parents as unto the Lord, and wives are to obey their husbands as if they were obeying God. Read the text as it continues, and be amazed at your calling, not afraid of it. 1 Peter 3:9-17. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. When you endure evil and railing without returning it, ye receive a blessing, not as a martyr, but as one who worships God. 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him speak peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? If you love life and want to live to a ripe old age in peace and contentment, then refrain from returning to evil words. For the eyes of the Lord see all that take place. His ears are open to your prayers when you obey him and obey your husband. And then comes the promise. If you are following God, no harm will come to you by doing what is good. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. You will receive a blessing when you suffer for righteousness' sake. That is, when you obey God by obeying your husband and not returning evil for evil, you will be happy. So don't be afraid or troubled by the things you must endure. 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they that speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. 17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. If not for your husband, at least for God, be willing to suffer for your well-doing. If you are not at least moderately versed in the Scripture and in the will and ways of God, this doctrine of suffering and abuse and silence for the glory of God will amaze you. It is a pity that so many today are ignorant of God's ways. This is the normal Christian life that we are advocating. God's way is the way of abounding joy and peace. Suffering for Him brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8. On the other hand, we are not suggesting a long-faced, poor me, look how I suffer attitude that so many seem to manifest. You will never win a lost husband if he thinks you are accepting misery as part of your faith. And I wouldn't blame him. If your responses to him are making you miserable, you can be assured that you do not have God's heart in the matter. You must be a worshiper of God and enjoy his presence if you are going to suffer for his sake and it result in great glory. Michael Pearl.